Well, so thankful to be able to be with you this morning so we can enjoy a period of fellowship and also have an opportunity to worship our great God in heaven. A couple of things that I need to mention before I get started with the lesson. Chris Jenner wanted me to announce that we have a new member of our congregation, and so we want to welcome her. Ashley Collins has decided to be affiliated with our congregation, and we're so excited. Ashley, if you'll raise your hand or stand up so we can see you. There you go. That'll be good. Everybody, welcome her to our congregation. We're so thankful for that, and so thankful to have you, Ashley. And enjoyed working with you at Maywood last week, too. I think others did as well. Last Sunday evening, as I was sitting here at the congregation awaiting worship that night, a drove of my family members began to walk in. And I looked over at my wife and gave her an eye, and she eyeballed me back with a, you know, so I knew something was up. I was so excited to see all of my family, you know. It stunned me a little bit that they all came to hear Hunter preach, and none of them have ever come to hear me, hardly. But Hunter was preaching that night, so Hunter was preaching, and all of my family came to hear that. I was a little bit offended, but that's okay by that. But my wife had planned a surprise birthday party for me, a 50th birthday party after services, and many of you stayed, and my family was here from all over the place, and I just appreciated it so much. I got roasted pretty good that night by a lot of people. So excruciating was the roast that I ended up having to go on vacation on Monday to try to get over it a little bit for the next week. But I appreciate everybody that was there, and I just want you to know how thankful I am to you and how much I love all of you and appreciate you. You're so gracious and so kind to my wife and I and to our family, and you are such a blessing. And I just want you to know how we feel about you and how much we love you very much, and I want to thank you for that. Now, if you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to Romans chapter 6. You can put your finger there for a few moments. We're going to get to that in just a second, that particular passage of Scripture. I am going to go ahead and tell you, save your outline. I did this lesson this morning at the early service, and it went 25 minutes with just 2 points. And actually, if you were waiting to come into the auditorium for class, you were late getting in here because I ran just a few minutes over. So we're going to get to points 1 and 2 this morning. And then I want to invite you to come back. Please come back this evening so that you can get points 3 and 4 of this lesson. My favorite point is point 3. So you're not going to get my favorite point this morning. My favorite point is point 3. So you got to come back, or you got to make sure that you listen online this evening as you have the opportunity with our services. You know, last week we discussed several passages that were associated with our summer series, and that theme being Simon Says. Now, I understand that Lonnie did a phenomenal job this past Wednesday night. I know that my brother Brandon is going to do a great job this coming Wednesday. I believe in every one of our summer series speakers. I think they're all intelligent, biblically sound, godly men, and they're going to do a fantastic job presenting the material that they've decided to present. And last week, I told you I wanted to introduce the theme because the texts we were using were not texts that had been selected by the speakers when I reached out to them. And I wanted to cover those. Those passages of Scripture dealt with our need to become Christians and how we become a Christian. Now, we've recently, as was announced in our bulletin and as Chris announced it earlier, recently we've had several of our folks become Christians here at this congregation. We've had several that have put Christ on in baptism, and we're so thankful and we're so blessed for that. But today's lesson is going to launch us into that next phase. A lot of times we believe that the journey ends at baptism. That's not true at all. The journey's just beginning when it comes to our walk with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be talking about this idea of walking in the newness of life. And in our text, Paul talks about the blessing of the life that's offered in Christ Jesus. When we think about that blessing in life, he describes it here in this text as something new. Maybe what we would call a fresh start or a new lease on life. When we go back and we revisit the passage of Scripture here, it says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This new life. This fresh start. Don't we like fresh starts? Don't we like to have a new lease on life? What this tells us, and what Paul continues to explain here in Romans chapter 6, is that we've been rescued from a life of slavery to sin that ends in death to a life of emancipation that ends in eternal joy. But the key is that we have to continue to walk in this new life. We can't rest on our laurels. We can't say, oh, I'm glad to be a Christian, although I know that that needs to be the sentiment. Oh, yes, I'm glad to be a Christian. But we need to appreciate that it doesn't end there. That we've been raised to walk in this new life. We are to put away the old man of sin in favor of the new man of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 is going to talk to us about that. In Ephesians chapter 4, rather, verses 22 through 24, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes here. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul essentially is going to say the same thing just a few pages over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. If we look at those texts together, he says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so we're putting off the old man of sin in favor of the new man of God. In other words, we have to live our lives in this new actuality. This is what's transpired. This is what has happened. And we've got to learn to live with this new actuality. I want us to think of this from a medical concept. I want to think about being in remission from cancer. You ever thought about that a little bit? You know, what does it mean when someone is in remission when we consider this idea of cancer? Well, medically, it describes the state where the symptoms of this disease have decreased, and maybe when you go and look on the scan, they can tell that the disease is less, or maybe it's non-existent even within that individual. Certainly the symptoms, the evidence of that disease are not as strong as they once were. Now, we also use terms like complete remission, which means there can be no evidence of this found at all, either by the scans or in the symptoms manifested in the individual. I would like to ask this idea or this question and have this the following thought. Would you ever want to go back to being plagued with that disease once you're in remission? Do you know of anybody in your life who, after having had cancer, and you know what happens, we hear that word, that diagnosis, and it terrifies us, doesn't it? To think about having cancer. Do you know of a single individual who, after having cancer and having overcome it, or having it be in remission, has ever said, you know what, I really wish my cancer would come back? Do you know of anybody that's ever made that statement? Boy, I just wish that I could live with cancer all the time. No. We certainly would do that. But as a Christian, you are living in complete remission from the most terrible disease that's ever plagued mankind, and that is sin. Why in the world would you ever want to go back to that old self? Why? That doesn't make a lick of sense. We would never want to have cancer again. And I don't understand why it is that after we become Christian, there are individuals who seek to go back to the old life and the old ways. No, there's the blessing of being a Christian and to walk in the newness of this life. So what we're going to do for the remainder of our time is we're going to talk about what this new life looks like. What does the new life in Christ look like? Number one, when we think about this new life, if I can get it to click, Somebody may have to click it. I don't know if my clicker's going bad or not. We walk with a new attitude. We walk with a new attitude. Now, in that attitude or in that approach, this new life, please get this. I am no longer walking with selfish interest, but with submissive intent. Let that sink in. I am no longer walking with selfish interest, but with submissive intent. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. I recognize a new master in my life. I'm not living for the desires and just the blessings of Chris Presnell. You're not living for the blessings and the gratification of yourself. You recognize that you have a new master that you want to live for. And what you've come to also understand about this master is going to direct you down a path that is going to be a blessing to you. It is going to enrich your life. You're not going to veer off the wrong track, and you're not going to get into the things that you shouldn't be involved in that are going to bring destruction, that are going to bring heartache and disappointment. You recognize that it is not in you to direct your own steps. And that you must trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. You want to stay on that straight and narrow and you recognize that. And I want to serve this Master. And I'm not here to serve me anymore. I'm not here to be selfish. I'm here to be submissive. And so I've got a new attitude. And let me tell you something. When we get to that point in our life, we're going to find that it's a more enriching life. It's a blessed life. I mean, the Scriptures record that concept over and over, right? Or at least we get this idea. It's recorded by Paul. It says it's more blessed to what? To give than to receive. Paul will continue to talk about how that look not after your own interest, but after the interest of who? Of others, Philippians chapter 2. Don't just be absorbed with self. No, you'd be submissive to God. I recognize a new master. I want to serve Him, and I want to serve His will. Click me, Brent. All right, so how does Paul describe this new attitude? In Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 4 rather, going to verse 2. We're going to start in verse 1 because we're eventually going to get verse 1 in our lesson as well. But let's begin in verse 1 and read through verse 2. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, what attitude? How does Paul describe this new attitude? He describes it as an humble attitude. He describes it as one that is gentle, that is patient, that is forbearing for love's sake, and always is striving for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means I'm not going to exalt myself anymore. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be gentle. I'm not going to lash out at individuals in anger and frustration. No, I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to forbear with others in love. Now, think about the implication of that text right there. What does that imply? If you're having to forbear with somebody, that means that somebody has what? That means that somebody has irritated you. If you're having to share forbearance, if you're having to give forbearance, if you're bearing with somebody else, that means that maybe you've had to swallow your tongue about something. It may be that somebody has aggravated the fire out of you, made you angry, they've done something to you, and you got to take it. That's what it implies, right? That's the attitude and the spirit that I have because I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to be gentle. I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to show love and demonstrate. That's the new attitude that I have. It's not about defending me. Not about elevating me. No. The newness of life and the new walk involves a new attitude. I'm not walking with selfish interest, but with submissive intent. Number two, I walk with a new ambition, a new aspiration. Now, whenever you think about this, I think we have to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 and think about the statement that Paul makes here. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I am urging you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, if we want to try and explain that or express that in the best terms possible, here's how we might be able to do that. Number one, this walk will exalt Christ, it will implore men, and it sets our eyes on heaven. I appreciate Big Red's class today. He was talking about evangelistic prayer. A lot of the material in his lesson today, we will cover some of that here even in our lesson today. And it was very good material, talking about being evangelistic and reaching out to others and wanting what's best for others and wanting them to be saved. Whenever you think about this new ambition, here's my new ambition. This is my aspiration. This is what I want to have happen. Number one, I want to exalt Christ in the life that I live. In whatever way that I'm walking, I hope that people see Christ in me. And I hope they know that He's number one in my life. That's it. Exalts Christ. And then with my life, I want to implore men. I want to bring them to Jesus Christ. That is my purpose. That is a reasonable service. So that I might bring people to Jesus. I want them to know that Jesus Christ is number one in my life. He's made a difference. He has been a blessing to me. And I want them to have that same blessing. And then I've got my eyes set on heaven, which is what I think all of us should have our eyes set on. I want to be with Jesus. I hope that you want to be with Jesus. So when I think about this new ambition, it exalts Christ, it implores men, and it sets its eyes on heaven. Now, here's how it's shown, okay? And we only have a few more minutes, so we're going to get these final 3 points on this slide, and then the lesson will be yours, and you'll come back and get 3 and 4 tonight. Let me tell you how this walk is shown. It is shown by walking in the following ways. Number one, in a way that reflects gratitude. In a way that reflects gratitude. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul thanked God that he had been appointed to the ministry that he was engaged in. He was considered an appropriate choice to serve Christ. Regardless of the persecutions and the suffering and the difficulty, he lived his life with gratitude. Yeah, I thank God that He appointed me to this ministry. Why? Because he recognized where his life was going before Christ. And he recognized what blessings he was going to enjoy after having experienced Christ. He said, I'm going to live my life in gratitude. The rest of my life is going to be spent dedicated to Jesus because of what change He's made for me. In a way that reflects gratitude. Number two, in a way that reflects gravity. Now, this kind of goes back to what Big Red was talking about today. Gravity. I think about Hebrews chapter 10. We think about verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But verse 26, where we're going to start, says, if we continue to sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Woo! And then he ends that paragraph with verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In other words, folks, this is serious business. I'm going to walk and I'm going to live my life in a way that demonstrates the gravity of the situation, the fact that there are lost people in this world. And unless something happens to change their hearts and to cause them to respond to Jesus Christ, they're going to continue to be lost. And so it reflects the gravity of the situation. And number three, in a way that reflects grace. In a way that reflects grace. Gratitude, gravity, and grace. I think about Romans chapter 12, 21. The word grace is not used in this text, but man, it just seems like the whole concept of that is found there. Be not overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil. There are two parts to that, right? The first part of that text involves you as an individual. Then the second part of that text involves everybody that you're going to influence or be associated with. So it's about you and it's about others. You don't become overcome with evil. Well, how do we avoid that? Well, I'll tell you how we avoid that. We appreciate and recognize the grace and the love that's been given to us by God. And say, you know what? I want to be full of His grace. I want to be full of His love, His goodness. I know that He's shown it to me. And I'm so thankful for that. And because of it, I'm not going to allow evil to penetrate my heart. And then number two, I'm going to share that grace with others. I'm not going to let evil take hold of my life so that when people do things to me in a negative way, that I lash out to them in a negative way also. I want to overcome evil with what? With good. I want to walk with grace. So I have a new ambition. I want to walk worthy of the calling. It means to walk in a way that exalts Christ, implores men, and eyes heaven, and walk in a way that reflects gratitude, the gravity, and grace. Now we're going to stop right there for today. And I hope that you'll come back and get points 3 and 4 this evening. As we talked about earlier, in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death. Therefore, buried with Him in baptism, or by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Here in this text, he talks to us about how we can put on Christ, how we can be blessed by Him, have the forgiveness of our sins. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one today by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is Son of God, being baptized to wash away those sins. But it may be that you have gone back into that old life. And it's time for you to make that right with God. You can walk in newness of life again. If there's sin in your life, it can be taken away. You can start afresh. So this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so while we stand and sing.